Hey, everybody. Yeah. It's us again. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Oh, I was so excited to see this movie, and I was so glad that it came out, like, as good as I expected.
Yeah, we also watched Psycho last night, the original from 1960. Yeah. That shit held up.
Yeah, I bought him, like, all for Christmas, all four of them, like, in a Blu-ray pack.
Yeah, yeah, so Psycho 1, I hadn't seen it since I was a kid, and watched it, and it holds up. It's good.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, I remember Psycho 2 being better, but we'll see.
I think we'll watch 2 tonight and maybe 3. And maybe 4, too, if we're not.
But this one was a good one. Kind of reminded... It's a Cronenberg flick. It's a Cronenberg
film. Brandon Cronenberg. Now, this is only his second movie. He made one called Antiviral, which is I've also heard is very good, but I haven't seen that one yet, though. This one just came out. I guess it premiered at Sundance back in January. And then it got, like, kind of a wide release, you know, not theaters, obviously, but in October. So it hasn't been out that long.
Yeah, he's not copying his dad, but you can see the influence.
Oh, yeah. Like, their styles are very similar, which is not surprising.
What I liked about this one is he's showing you how to make a fucking badass movie without spending $10 billion on the damn thing, you know? He just chose really good locations and real good interiors and real good exterior shots to make the movie look real expensive. Really good, score. Kind of got that creepy industrial kind of sound to it. Not really industrial. What's a good way to put it? It's kind of like, it's like a Cronenberg movie.
Yeah, like I said, you can. Yeah. It's weird because you can tell it's a Cronenberg movie.
Yeah.
But I guess Brandon Cronenberg, you can tell where the influence is, but he has his own thing, which is like more of a modern.
Yeah, it's more modern.
Take on it.
Yeah.
But you can tell that he's his father's son.
His shot composition's really good. Color palette's real good. At certain times he'll use kind of like a soft lens on things, and then other times it's real crystal clear, depending on what emotion he's trying to convey to you. It was a good one. It's called Possessor.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say it's about a corporate assassin.
Yeah.
She kills people for these corporations so the corporations can steal what they own and control. But she does it by possessing the person and getting them to commit murders and kill themselves in public so they have plausible deniability. Nobody knows that this technology exists, but you can possess another person and run them off a remote control. But it has a lot of bad side effects, which that's what the movie's about. And it's like a... Cronenberg had a lot of body horror in it. This is like identity horror.
That's a good way of putting it. It's definitely... Yeah. This is like a psychological horror with some sci-fi elements.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like...
Kind of reminded me of Upgrade.
I was going to say that too. It reminded me a little bit of Upgrade. Also had a little bit of a Blade Runner 2049 vibe
like a Blade
to it.
Runner.
Just in the pacing and the way it was, I mean, it was a little faster paced than that, but like kind of the way it was shot and like that kind of arty sort of shit to it. It was kind of like that. So like I said, don't go into it expecting it to be like all action packed and shit. It's definitely an art film, but I don't want to say that like to sound like, oh, don't watch it because it's like arty farty or anything.
And it's not as far in the future as say like Blade Runner.
Think from what I read on the Wikipedia page, it's actually supposed to be set in 2008, but an alternate reality 2008.
Yeah,
not that you would know that from watching it.
It looks, the architecture looks more like something out of James Bond flick, which kind of matches up with the theme of the movie. It's industrial spies and assassins and shit like that. And, it can't spoil the damn movie. You know, but there's a way that they can target you as a person and then get one of their agents to possess your body and go out and commit murders. And then you can, then you'll kill yourself. And then the person that possessed you goes back to their body. And it's technological, it's not psychic. But weird things happen when you're possessing another person's body. You're possessing their mind, and your identity and their identity can sometimes get blended. And the corporation has to make sure who it is they're dealing with all the time, because when the agent comes back, they got to make sure that it's them and it's not the
target. Yeah, they have to like do a calibration test. Yeah, they give her a box. Like Andrea Riseborough is in this. She's fucking great in this.
Yeah.
They give her a box of like things.
That's the girl from Mandy.
Yeah. Mandy.
She does a great job. She's the assassin in it.
Yeah, her name's Tasia Voss. That's the name of her character. But yeah, they give her a box that has all this stuff, and she's like, yes, this is the pipe, and it belongs to my grandfather. This is that, the other thing.
To prove who she was.
To prove that she's that she is who she is, that you're not getting any quote-unquote bleed-through, like, from the other people's psyches and all this other kind of shit. But, you know what I mean? Like, so you have that kind of thing going on. Now, what's interesting about this, and I didn't know we watched it, we rented this. You can rent it on YouTube, and you can rent it on Amazon Prime, and it's only $1.99 to rent it for HD. However, what I discovered was that if you buy it, like if you buy, I don't know if you buy, because you can buy it on Amazon Prime, or I don't know if you buy like the actual hard copy, like the Blu-ray. If you buy that, that's the uncut version. And I'm not sure entirely what was cut out of this version. I have seen a couple of the scenes. It's a couple scenes of like real extreme gore. I think there's an erect penis in there.
Oh my god.
I know. I was watching I think it was Found Flicks, and he was like, why is everybody so afraid of dongs? to put the dongs in the movies. But yeah, so I guess there was, I can, now that I'm thinking about it, I can tell, I know where that scene probably was. Yeah. You probably know too, yeah. And one of the, like I said, I don't want to spoil it, but I did see like some of the stuff that was just like a second or two, because even without those scenes in there, this is pretty violent. Like it goes a long time, and like I said, this is one of those movies where you really, really have to listen to everybody's conversations. You really have to like follow the story. I feel like this is one that, I mean, I loved it when I watched it, but then like the more I thought about it, and then the more I read about it, I was kind of like, that I liked it even better, because you know what I mean, it's one of those ones where you definitely would have to see it twice to like catch everything, because there's a lot of like little shit in there, like just in facial expressions and like shit that they say and stuff like that.
If you liked Blade Runner, you'd like it. If you'd liked Upgrade, you'd like it. If you'd liked Videodrome, you'd like it. It was like Videodrome, kind of.
It was it did kind of remind me of that, like thematically it did, because that was kind of something that was like something that was taking your mind over and that kind of stuff. And Jennifer Jason Leigh is in this as well, which is funny, because as soon as they were like sitting, she's kind of like Andrea Riseborough's character, who was, you know, the assassin. Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, whose name is Gerder, she's like kind of her handler. She's like the one that's in charge of the shit, like all the time.
There's a James Bond, La Femme Nikita element to it too. If you liked those movies, you'd like it. It's probably about it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's gotten really, really good reviews, and a lot of horror channels that I watch picked this like as one of their favorite horror movies of the year. Like I said, it's not super action packed or anything like that. It's much more of like a,
it doesn't really have to be though.
Like it, yeah, it's just like a more of like an unsettling kind of, it's almost like a Black Mirror episode, I want to say. Like it has that kind of veneer to it as well.
She's got to go into these other people's bodies and kill them and kill innocent family members for her job. So and you know what I mean? She's a bad person. You'd have to be a bad person to do this.
Yeah, and it doesn't go well.
Yeah, and it gets pretty damn complicated. And you have to kind of like keep straight who knows who and who's in whose body. It's a trip.
I will say that Andrea Riseborough and the guy that plays one of the people that she's possessing, I'm not sure, what is it, Russell Sutherland? I'm not sure if that's the actor or not, but the main guy that she's, because she possesses more than one person, but the main guy that she possesses through the bulk of the runtime, I will say that both of their acting is so good that when he was walking around being a dude and being a dude things, but she was in there, you know what I mean? Like she was kind of controlling him. I totally bought that she was in there. And he wasn't acting like her, he wasn't doing anything like that, but just the way that it was shot, the way that they were moving, the way that all this kind of stuff, I totally believed. Like, I didn't have any problem knowing, like, when she was in there and when she wasn't in there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's kind of hard to put your face, like, it's kind of hard to explain, like, if you haven't seen the movie, but I totally bought it. I was like, yeah, she's in his brain, and she's, like, controlling. You couldn't see her, you couldn't anything like that. He was just, like, looked regular, but, you know, so that was, like, a really, like, testament to the acting, I think. But, yeah, this was, like, really good. This is probably one of the best movies that I've seen this year, I mean, easily. Sean Bean is in this as well, playing a gigantic douche hat. Oh my god, this guy is such a dick.
I put it there with her that other film she was in, Mandy.
Yeah,
about like that. Even though I think Mandy blew me away more, just because of the visuals.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mandy was like a visual.
Yeah,
it was like an acid trip, and just right. like, you know, all candy and
yeah, and you got Nicolas Cage just crazy and the fuck out and throughout Mandy. You know what I mean? And I'm just going, yeah, that was a good movie.
I love that.
This
you know what?
Different. This is more like a. More like Blade Runner or Videodrome kind of put together.
Yeah, it reminded me, I mean, the tone of it reminded me of Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, visually it reminded me of Upgrade.
Yeah.
It looked like Upgrade, kind of.
Yeah, and it had like a little bit of a similar theme. Not exactly the same, obviously, but, you know, kind of similar.
Yeah, corporations messing with fucking powerful technology that was like prototype technology and using it for their own gain. You know?
Well, technology mixed with like organic, which is a very Cronenbergian.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? And I was just telling him because I don't think you've seen Existenz, which was a David Cronenberg movie. I think it came out in the 90s, 96, I want to say. I saw it in the theater. But that one also had Jennifer Jason Leigh in it. Some of it's kind of dated now because a lot of it was kind of like, you know, computer hackers and video games and stuff. But he had a thing where there was like a virtual reality video game that was almost like being in the real world, but you basically hooked it into a port, like right into your spinal column, but it was almost like an umbilical cord, like so all the controllers and shit like that were like organic, like you would just kind of massage them, and it was almost like a weird like sexual type of thing. It was
like Naked Lunch.
Yeah, it was like really really
like
weird.
A typewriter from Naked.
Yeah, Lunch. it was like that. So so this kind of gave me a little bit of that vibe too, but. But a lot more modern, like I said, because I saw Existenz again, like recently, and it is like parts of it are a little bit dated, but you know, other than that, I actually really liked that movie.
It's good, man. I mean, he's, continuing the Cronenberg tradition without straight up ripping anything off. He's just continuing it. You can, you know where he got his influences, you know, he knows what works. And, you know, we're going to see some good Cronenberg movies from Cronenberg Part 2.
Yeah, that's so
Cronenberg
cool.
Cronenberg Part 2, yeah.
And now I want to see Antiviral, which is his first one. I've heard that one is really good as well.
I'm sure he'll come up with some crazy shit.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, I'm not really sure. So if anybody has actually bought, you know, the physical medium of this movie, let me know what they cut out. I saw, like, I was watching another review of it, and somebody had gotten, like, a screener copy. And I guess that had some of the gore scenes in it that were cut. Like I said, this is pretty gory, but they took out like a few seconds here and there, like someone's eyeball getting popped out or something like that. So they took out a little bit. So just like let me know what was taken out. Because I saw two of the gore scenes that they took out.
All right, Tina's asked us what the favorite Cronenberg movies are.
Ooh.
For me, it'd be Videodrome.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to beat Videodrome. Yeah. Although, The Fly...
The Brood was good, too. I liked The Brood, because that had fucking old what's-his-name in there getting ready to whip your ass.
It's hard to pick one.
Yeah.
I mean, we've reviewed a bunch of them. I think did we review The Brood? We did Shivers. Know. We did Videodrome.
Brood disturbed me as a young child, and I think that was even before Videodrome. Wasn't that before Videodrome?
The Brood? Yes.
I saw
when did Videodrome
I saw
come
them
out?
Both
80, 81?
I saw them both on HBO.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was looking at. I was just, what the fuck? You know? I think Videodrome came out after, and that was fucking weird, too. But the whole idea of these little damn killer babies running around in their fucking jammies, killing people, and then it leads back to this dude who's doing some psychic training, or he was a self-help guru on his fucking private compound. Made a damn queen ant. And that was some weird shit. That was fucking, she was popping them little
She was
fucking,
popping and then licking
babies,
them.
Yeah, those babies out. That was fucking weird. See, because even though that was Canada, that little complex that they filmed that at was like, it reminded me so much of California. Going to like the ski resorts, the ski lodges, or going camping. My mom was riding all the damn horses and everything, all these little damn, like Coto de Casa, all these little fucking farms and ranches. They were all had that same architecture. And next to them, sometimes there'd be little places where they'd have seminars and shit. This is out in the fucking, outside of L.A., you know, out in the mountains. It's probably built up areas now, but in the day, it was like the country, you know?
Yeah.
And so it looked like a place I would have been to as a kid, so it was pretty disturbing. Remember they had the wood paneling that was sideways?
Yeah.
Like, that shit was everywhere, all over L.A. when I was a kid.
Yeah, we had a lot of that, too.
Yeah, and it's gone now. I think all those buildings are all old and abandoned now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was just, I don't know, it was the vibe of the time, you know? I could place myself in the brood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they were my size. You know what I mean? Because I was a kid.
Yeah.
At the time. So
you're like, I could be wearing jammies like that.
The idea you running into some kid in his damn jammies and he's a fucking mutant. Scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tila asked, did he direct Rabbit? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And he did, and we did a review of that. And somebody mentioned Dead Ringers, which on some days is actually my favorite Cronenberg movie. Look, I even have my Dead Ringers shirt on today. Mantle Twins Fertility Clinic, specializing in mutant women. But I made this.
I like the way that one looks. I'm not really too interested in that story. It's not a very compelling story.
It's a psychological horror story more than, and there's not a lot. It's not super super gory. I think we reviewed that one, didn't we? Like, not too long ago.
Videodrome and The Brood tripped me out a lot more than that.
Yeah.
You know, just something about them.
I think, probably The Brood is maybe the creepiest one.
I think it is.
I think overall, best movie, probably The Fly, but that might be because that's kind of his most accessible one. I haven't seen Spider in a long time. I remember liking that a lot.
Videodrome was fucking creepy, too. Remember the homeless shelter that made you watch TV?
Yeah.
And then there's the guy who's nothing but on videotape talking to you. Who's run, and that shit tripped me out when I was a kid. He only fucking spoke to you in the form of a monologue through videotape. Just like television. And that television was reality. You know, the mind's eye could not differentiate between reality and television. So television is reality. And television can affect reality. That shit fucking blew my mind.
That's one thing. It's like David Cronenberg and David Lynch and Stanley Kubrick probably are my three favorite directors. And John Carpenter. Okay, so top four. Yeah. But the thing about it is that...
Some Carpenter.
But like I said, everybody makes a couple, you know, shit.
The Carpenter that Carpenter actually did.
Yeah.
A lot of that, he just has his name on it.
But the thing about David Lynch and David Cronenberg is that those two guys, I am, like, jealous about how weird they are. Like, I wish I was as weird as that. Like, because it comes across, it's so effortless. You know what I mean?
Effortless weirdness.
Effortless weirdness. And, like, that's kind of, like, because sometimes, like, if you're trying to be weird, like, it comes across as, like, you're desperately trying to be weird. Like, look how weird I am. But the two of them just come across as they're just like fucking weird dudes. They just have this weird imagination and it's like not hard for them. That's just like the way that they think.
It's not as weird as you think it is.
No, it's not.
That's why it doesn't seem forced. It happens just like I just described it. Dude, Cronenberg just thought, what if the mind cannot differentiate between what's real on a screen and what's real in reality? And they just go from there. What would the effects be?
Yeah, what would happen?
What would happen? And that's what he did.
Which, I mean, this movie is kind of like that, too, where it's, you know, this one that we're talking about today, Possessor, that's kind of like, if this technology existed that you could essentially insert your consciousness into another person's brain and make them do what you wanted to do, what would happen?
Right.
Like, you know, what would the implications of that be like if something went wrong?
The first thing that happened is that the richest motherfucker in the world would have it and they'd try to make themselves even richer, which is exactly what they show.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to think about, well, wait a minute, just because you hijack another person's body, are they gone now? Are they totally helpless? Or can the person being possessed, can they fight back?
Yeah.
So that's what's in there. There it is. That's the movie.
Yeah, that's but yeah, this is really, really a good one. So like I said, if you want to see it like complete and uncut, I would recommend like buying it. I think you have to buy the physical copy, like the Blu-ray, the DVD. That's my understanding. I'm not sure if that's true or not. The one that you rent, you can rent it for $1.99, like I said, on Amazon Prime or YouTube. That one has a few, not a lot of time, like a few seconds trimmed out here and there. It's no erect dongs, no eyeball gouging, no...
Probably doesn't make a big difference.
I don't think it makes a big difference because it's still pretty gory. A lot of people get hacked up. So it's like really, really bloody. But yeah, this is a really good one. Like I said, I think that that this is probably one of my favorite ones of the year. I would be surprised if this didn't... I mean, well, the year's over now, but... If I had to make a list of all the movies that we saw this year, I mean, I think this would easily be top 10. Yeah. I really dug it. But, yeah.
Just
so,
listen to what everybody's talking about.
Talking about Cronenberg movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Louis says, Andrea Riseborough starred in a show called 000 on Amazon, which is a really good show. Oh, I didn't know that. She's been in a couple other horror movies, too, and I think she was in a Black Mirror episode called Crocodile, also. That I think I saw, and what the fuck was the other movie that she was in? She was in Mandy, I know that. She was in another one that we saw not too long ago, and now I can't remember what it is.
If you haven't seen Mandy, see Mandy. Tila, did you see Mandy? You gotta see that one. Now everybody fucking wants to bag on Color Out of Space. That wasn't that bad, but a lot of people
I liked Color Out of Space. I like Mandy a lot better.
Mandy's better, but
yeah. Color Out of Space because
wasn't
I was.
Bad. Yeah.
Actually, Color Out of Space, we rented it like right when it first came out, but Shudder has it now. Like, yeah. So you can watch it on Shudder if you have that. But I think we rented it when it came out.
Think what else.
I guess because in Mandy, they basically told Nicolas Cage, they said, be at your Nicolas Cageiest. They were just kind of like, just go nuts, man. Do what you do. And he's like, I can do that. And he did. And it really made some, I mean, just they just let him loose.
Shit, man, I should make some movies. I should just have, my job should just be to make movie ideas.
Make movie ideas.
Yeah, I don't want to.
You could
do
be
it.
Like the movie pitchman.
I'm too lazy to do it.
Yeah, I mean, making lazy. A movie is a lot of work.
Yeah. They're like, Tom, make a movie. I said all kinds of crazy shit on this show over the years. You could make about 20 movies.
You probably could.
Out of just the funny shit I said by accident.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably the case. It's too bad that I didn't, like, write all of it down, because I could think of, like, all kind of story ideas and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not that I have time to, like, write too much fiction
anymore,
but... Yeah, it
takes a certain kind of person to want to make movies.
Well, like I said, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of collaboration.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason that I like writing is because you can do it by yourself. You can just come up with your own shit, and you can write it down, and it's cheap to produce. You don't have to, like... hire actors, you don't have to have like all this fucking expensive equipment,
studios,
you don't have to have all that kind of,
product
well
placement.
You know what I mean, you don't have to have all that kind of, you don't have to have a whole crew, you don't have to have all this equipment, you don't have to have all that kind of stuff. You can just think up a story and you can write whatever you want to.
If you ask me, people, movies are dead. That's dead. I mean, you're gonna get every year 3 or 4 movies that really stand out that you like. That's not saying much though. That's usually what it normally was, okay? You were lucky back in the 80s to get like 7 good movies in a year that you liked, you know? Most of it was trash. It was always trash. And it's going to continue to be trash. It's going to get trashier, if you ask me. Now, the little independent films, that's really where you're going to start. You'll see good shit there.
Well, like I said, you've always seen good shit there.
Yeah. It's going to be hit and miss, though. And These directors have a half-life, you know what I mean? You're lucky to get 10 good movies out of them. Most directors, you need to get 4 good movies before it starts being garbage. But movies are toast.
Louis said that Andrea Riseborough, I think she was in the newest Grudge. That's where we saw her, because I saw that in the theater.
Right.
And, Mango said that, I forgot to mention this, but on Netflix, they're having a new series called... Guide to Swear Words or something like that, and Nicolas Cage is going to be hosting.
Yeah, that looked good. I saw that.
So, yeah, I think that comes out next week. Actually, this Friday is season 3 of Cobra Kai.
The future is not going to be these movies. The future is going to be series. Some of these series will be documentaries. That fucking Scientology documentary is fucking great. All right. I like to watch. We were watching that Scientology documentary with Leah Remini, and just the way it's edited is fucking fantastic. It's like a, you know what I mean? It's a reality-based subject, and it's taking you through it. I think it's great.
Well, I like that it's not real over the top, and it's not real, like, it's not trying to, like, overly dramatize.
It had a good score. Whenever they interviewed people, it was in a real good setting. They shot it the right way. They edited it together. It was exciting. You know, that's the future of visual entertainment. It's going to be entertainment mixed with reality. Really good documentaries. Really good series. Cobra Kai was a really good series. I actually got YouTube Red just to get Cobra Kai. Now I'm thinking about killing YouTube Red.
Because Netflix has Cobra Netflix Kai now. They bought it.
So there's no reason for me to have YouTube Red. And then another thing that's just getting really good, and it's going to be the king of most of this shit, which is these video games.
Video games, I mean, like I said, that's really been going on for ages.
I'm playing Metal Gear Solid 5, and it's not perfect, man, but that's a pretty damn close trainer on how to infiltrate fucking enemy defenses. There's a lot of military stuff in there that's accurate. Now, what isn't accurate is that you're doing it alone. You never do anything like that alone. You never do anything in a team smaller than 3 men. But it's still, that's a highly detailed, fun game. You know, you're listening to fucking tapes and interviews and trying to figure out the main story arc and what's going on and making money as a international mercenary out in the fucking international waters and building shit and fucking, you got a whole team of guys and you're doing administrative stuff and putting dudes on tasks that they can do, and it's just like running a business, you know. And no movie could really no movie's going to be able to compete with something like these long form video games. The movie is now basically the epic poem. It's still in the fucking, it's now in the segment of epic poem. It's got to be told within about 2 hours, the story. That's tough to fucking tell. It's tough to tell a story within 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but this one was pretty good. Jenny's being quiet. She's like, yeah, fuck it.
Well, I was being quiet because you were talking.
Yeah. I got sidetracked.
Yeah, no. Tammy said,
we're lucky to get 5 good movies a year now.
I mean, I've seen a lot more than 5 good movies.
Well, you like the kind of movies I don't like, though.
That's true.
You have a little bit.
I have a lot broader.
You have broader tastes, yeah. Okay? And you enjoy storytelling. You write books and stuff. I don't really enjoy storytelling that much. If the story has to be really compelling for me to be into it. I'm kind of deadened to that in a certain way. I don't know. There's no way to
that's
describe.
A shame.
Yeah. I'm too burnt out on it.
Tammy said she liked George Clooney's new movie. I watched the trailer for that, and that actually looked pretty good. So we might end up watching that one as well. Louis says we need to watch the NXIVM documentary. Yes, we will get
that. Yeah, I
want to
see that one. Yeah.
And then Tila asked if I saw Brandon Cronenberg's first movie, Antiviral. I haven't seen it yet, but now I definitely want to see it because I really, really liked this one. All right, so you done? Yeah.
No, I'm just going to say that, you know, fucking, it just goes to show you that movies really hinge on a director. And a director, if he's got a name, he can give you a good movie. And Cronenberg's a solid name across 2 generations now.
I don't, you know what, as, you know, we were talking about John Carpenter before, how he's kind of hit and miss. But it's like, I don't think I've seen a single David Cronenberg movie that I didn't like. They're all at least worth a watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the, like, the really, really old ones, like, even, I don't think I've ever seen one that I didn't like.
Yeah.
Not that I can think of. And I've seen almost all of them.
That's not the case with Carpenter, even though I like Carpenter's really good work.
Do.
But, you know, shit like, what is it, Ghosts of Mars? Nah. Yeah. No. You know, I don't think he made that movie.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think he was on set. I think he had other people do it.
He's like, you do it, I don't feel like it. I'll just put my fucking name on it.
I think it was a huge blow to him mentally when the Thing got its ass kicked by E.T.
Well, he said that before that kind of
yeah,
because it wasn't successful at first, and he thought this is the best movie I've ever made, which it was, and then nobody really recognized it until years later. So I can see how you get a little salty about that.
Yeah, and the quality of his work fucking suffered after that.
Yeah,
but he had good movies, man.
Yeah,
when you know, in the early part of his career, but I think The Thing fucked him up. That was a great movie. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it still is. It's like, you know, everybody's still fucking talking about it.
Hard to top it. Even, you know, it's hard to top that movie. Even though the special effects by today's standards, you look at that, you tell that that's fake. But for me, it looks better than CG. At least it's there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I say that about a lot of CG. Unless the CG is, like, so seamless that you can't tell. It's like, I would much rather see...
The acting, the script, Keith David and Krussell, that was a fucking unbeatable fucking pair. They carried that movie.
Yeah.
They lived to the very end of the movie.
Well, I mean, the whole ensemble was, like, really good.
That everybody was great in that
movie. That was a good ensemble piece.
And it was a ballsy move, an all-male cast.
Yeah.
No women in it.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it as a kid, that it was all-male. It just because it fit the scene. It fit
You weren't really
the situation.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, they were on some fucking outpost out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
What was the one that we watched the other day? Oh, we were talking about Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. That was another one that was all male cast.
Yeah.
But that might have been why, because they were homaging.
They were homaging The Thing.
The Thing. Zach keeps saying, has said many times in the comments, and I haven't got to say it yet, that we need to see Nocturnal Animals by Tom Ford. Now, wasn't that not based on a book? Because I feel like somebody keeps recommending that book to me also, but I haven't seen the movie yet. But I will get around to it, I promise. I promise. We just have, like, such a long list of movies. I mean, we've got movies that you guys, like, some of you guys have sent us that we haven't even had time to watch yet. So, eventually, we'll get around to watching all of them. One of these days. All right. You want to wrap it up?
Tila's asking me a question. She's saying, would it be horror... Would it be a horror movie or action?
The one that you're making.
Oh, the one I'm making?
Yeah. Because that was
I didn't
even
think about it. I make all movies. All different kinds.
I feel like it'd probably be an action movie. Action comedy.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't get me lying.
Or kung fu or something like that. Lying. Like a crazy kung fu movie.
I hadn't really thought about it. It'd be on the director.
Yeah. All right. You done? You wrapping it? Yeah. We wrapping it up. All right. So it's Wednesday today. So again, we're not streaming tomorrow or Friday, but we'll be back on Saturday for our regular drunken ranting, like we usually do. But yeah, check out Possessor, Brandon Cronenberg. Like I said, kid's a chip off the old block, isn't he?
I guess Tina's never seen The Thing. She says that I keep adding to her list.
Yeah, but we're talking about other movies too.
No, I don't know.
Unlike other people are talking about other movies too.
You talking about that? You mean The Thing? See, is that okay? She's not answering. I think she was talking about The Thing.
All right.
She hadn't seen The Thing, then that's just that's fucked up.
That's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
I've seen The Thing. Okay. Yeah, she's all right. Seen it.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think she was talking about something else.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see you guys again live on Saturday, and thanks for stopping by. Bye.